Mother's Day. Once again, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Appreciate you being at Calvary Lighthouse Church this morning for our Mother's Day celebration. We've got some gifts here we're going to give to you at the close of this service. But if you will, let's open up our Bibles or cast your eyes upon the screen. We're going to Genesis chapter number 21, verse number 6. You can remain seated this morning. I've got lots of scripture I'm going to share with us this morning. I'm going to go about this just a little bit differently. It's not really an opening text. It's just we're going to launch off here from Genesis 21, verse number 6. And we're going to be looking at some mothers in the Bible, some ladies in the Bible, and some of the characteristics they displayed. Of course, all those women in the Bible were women with all these characteristics, but some of these women showed forth or spoke forth certain characteristics in the circumstance and the situation that they were in. And so the first mother that we want to speak of here this morning is found in Genesis chapter number 21 and verse number 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Amen. Now, this is not a statement of Sarah's previous laugh that she got kind of called out on by God when God was promising that a son would be born, that Isaac would be born, and Sarah within herself kind of snickered, if you will, like, yeah, right. Has he not looked at what's going on in our lives? Hallelujah. And so that's the laugh there that God called her on because of her. It was a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear, possibly, and unbelief. But now this Isaac has already come. And now she's making a reference to the fact of joy that's in her life. Hallelujah. And that's what that word there is talking about, how that God hath made me full of joy. In other words, merriness of heart, joy of the Lord, joy of what God has done, and what she's saying is because God has brought this to pass and has brought joy into my life, all those that are here that hear this are going to be filled with joy with me at the wonderful works of God. And so I want to look here. Sarah's life, and this statement she made was a statement of joy. And you see, that is what we need in our lives. Mothers, as we're raising our children, mothers, even when our children are grown, you are still an influence in their lives. You are still an example in their lives. You are still an anchor in the lives of your children. Whether you think you are or not, you are. Hallelujah. And so we see then that joy is a characteristic, and joy is something that needs to be in our lives, inspired by what Sarah experienced, realizing that the hand of the Lord upon our lives is the joy of our life. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 15:13, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Praise the Lord. Kind of reminds me of our holiness rally. Hallelujah. A continual feast. Our hearts were merry. We were full of joy because God was ministering to our hearts and our souls, bringing forth his word, touching us by his spirit. And hallelujah, then we continually feasted upon the wonderful things of our God. Amen. It's that joy. Amen. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Wow. You realize how much truth's in that statement? Just the simple joy inside helps me in my times of stress. That joy of the Lord, that presence of our God, that joy of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Oh, that river of life flowing in our lives, hallelujah. In John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I've said it many times, and Brother James Gans, we were sitting talking, and he was telling me about some books that he was writing and how he was being inspired by the lineage of Brother Hill there in Iowa to write. Brother Hill, before he passed away, he encouraged James to start writing, and James has written a book, and he was telling me, Brother Pepper, he said, you need to write a book. And I just smiled at him, yeah, well, maybe I could. I think I could, yeah. He said, you need to write a book on joy. He says, you are always preaching about joy. You are always talking about joy. You are always displaying joy. You need to write a book on joy. I said, you know, Brother James, I might just write a book on joy. Because that, and I made this statement, I do believe Friday night, that joy is what's missing in the children of God. Because when you're full of joy, hallelujah, woo, it's on your face. It's on your countenance. It's in your step. Hallelujah. It's all over you. Hallelujah. When joy is in your life, hallelujah, it does make you more healthy. Why? Because you're just always going. You're always doing. You're always feeling it. Hallelujah. And when you feel good, you do good. Woo. You ever notice that? Anybody ever notice that when you get tired and weary and wore out, you don't do much? And if you do it, you're just dragging around trying to get it done. But when you're full of, what do I want to say? Zip? Vinegar? Well, that's some Oklahoma terminology. Amen. Vivacious. Now, that's not Oklahoma, but it is a real word. Praise God. Hallelujah. What is that joy of the Lord in our souls? Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then in John 16:24, Jesus makes a reference to it again. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. I'm going to throw this in here this morning because the fullness of joy comes when I am in surrender to God. Oh, hallelujah. When I'm not in conflict with God, but I'm in surrender to God. I'm allowing God to direct my path. I'm allowing God to lead my life. I'm allowing God to chastise me. I'm allowing God to correct me. I'm allowing God to rebuke me. I'm allowing God to change me. Woo, hallelujah. That's the source of the joy of the child of God. There's no greater joy in the whole wide world than to be doing the will of God in our lives. And that's what brings about change in us. And glory to God, change in others. Woo, hallelujah. You're going to have a hard time convincing people they need to be saved if you have no joy. If you're just trying to get them saved by the letter of the law, you're going to have a hard time getting them saved. But if you begin to display and share the joy of your salvation, it's going to be catching. Woo, hallelujah. They're going to want something that you got. Hallelujah. And so joy was displayed by Sarah, one of the first mothers that is given recognition in the Bible of a promise from God and God fulfilling that promise. Hallelujah. And thus the lineage of Christ and the promise of our Savior coming through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, moving on to another mother in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. This is Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the first prophet of God in the Bible. Hallelujah. Samuel, she prayed. She asked God. She was barren. God blessed her. She had a son. She raised that son. And then she lent that son to the Lord. In other words, dedicated that son to God. And that's what I want to bring forth from Hannah's life, is her dedication to God. She knew where her son came from. She knew that God had moved. She knew that he belonged to God. Hallelujah. And so the reality that our children, Psalms 127:3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Amen. The reality that children have come from God. and they belong to God, but they've been put in our care as fathers and mothers, hallelujah, that you and I, Proverbs 22:6, may train them up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, hallelujah. In other words, Hannah had that dedication. She raised that child to that age there where he could then stay at the temple with Eli and be taught the ways of God and be touched by God, be used by God. She had no earthly idea what God was going to do with that young man, but she knew that she was giving him to the Lord for whatever the Lord wanted to do with him. Hallelujah. And we do something similar here at Calvary Lighthouse Church. I don't know if they do it in all other churches, but we have baby dedications. We have ceremonies when children are born, and we come and we dedicate them back to the Lord, realizing they have come from God. They're in our care because God wants us to train them up in the ways of the Lord, hallelujah, so that when they get old, he can use them however he wants to use them. And you see, that's how Hannah was training Samuel, by giving him unto the Lord and putting him there at the tabernacle. She was teaching him to make himself available to God. Hallelujah. To do with whatever God wanted to be done. Hallelujah. And so this is the characteristic of a dedication that Hannah had towards God, towards her son, and thus then God using him in that mighty way because she believed God would take care of him. That'd be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it? Not for sure how old Samuel was. Not 100% positive. I'm not sure how old they were when they weaned children in the Old Testament. Just don't know for sure. He may have been really up to 6-7 years old. And then she just left him there. But she went back and checked on him. She went back and saw him, made him a coat, took him a coat. She took care of him when she would visit. But oh, the dedication that Hannah had, even to the Lord, because she knew he belonged to God. You see, mothers, your children belong to God. God has given them to you to train and to show his holiness, his righteousness, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, his love. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's all part of dedication. You see, we got to dedicate ourselves to God before we can actually dedicate our children to God. And when we're dedicated to God and we dedicate our children to God and we are dedicated to train our children in the ways of the Lord by example, not by word alone. It don't work that way. You can tell children what to do, but what they're going to do is act like you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you're doing what you tell them to do, then they will do also. Praise God. You lead by example. You lead, train that child. You show them the way. Hallelujah. How many has ever taught their child a simple task? Did you just do it to them verbally? We'll use the example of building a race car, Brother Cisneros, for Royal Rangers. Did you just tell your children, all right, go build that race car, put the wheels on it, sand it down, make it a certain weight, and then we'll go race it? And if that's what you did, they're looking at you like, how do you do that? Yeah. See, that's the same way if we tell our children, be holy. Don't do that and don't do this. But we don't show them how to be holy. We don't show them how to be victorious. We don't show them how to bridle our tongue. We don't show them how to do it. But we tell them to do it. You got to do it. In other words, we're basically telling them to do something we ain't doing. Does anybody know what the definition of this is? I'll let you think about it for a little bit, and I'll tell you here in a moment. It's hypocrisy. There we go. Being a hypocrite. Telling them to do something, then not doing it yourself, that's a hypocrite. And then a lot of people have lived their lives that way, and they wonder, why are their children not serving the Lord? Well, bottom line, Not always. But if you didn't train them, then you can't expect them. But if you did train them and they're not, then you got a promise right here, they will. Hallelujah. See that? You can stand on the promises of God when you have been obedient to the commands of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we see dedication. Oh my, mothers, praise the Lord. Fathers, I mean, this is not just for mothers, hallelujah, but it is. If these mothers displayed these characteristics to be in samples to you and I, to help show you and I what God will do when we'll take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. If we will do that, so will our heritage. Praise God. I mean, this can move on to Sunday school teachers. This can move on to the pastor. I mean, as we take up our cross and as we follow the Lord, then the church will begin to take up their cross and they will follow the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. It's just part of the kingdom of God and the way things operate in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 1, verse number 41. We find another mother. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And you can go there and you can read all the rest of it. I mean, she began to magnify God. She began to worship. Hallelujah. She was filled with the Holy Ghost of God, right there, Old Testament time. Wasn't New Testament time yet. It was Old Testament time, but she got to taste of the Spirit of God before the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. She got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the terminology is there. You go to the Old Testament, and you find that the Spirit of God came upon them. Came upon them. Hallelujah. But here, she got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when she was filled with the Spirit of God, guess what happened? She began to speak, hallelujah, with a loud voice. And she began to magnify God. She wasn't speaking in an unknown tongue because the day of Pentecost had not come. But she was prophesying and magnifying God. Gives you a little insight in what they were doing on the day of Pentecost in an unknown tongue. They were doing the same thing that Elizabeth was doing here as she heard the news that a Savior was going to be born. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God filled her. The babe in her womb leaped for joy. Wow. Glory. Well, it's all right to leap then, isn't it? Hallelujah. John the Baptist was the first leaper. Glory. In the womb. Because the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Wow. Glory. You know what? That lets me know that children can be filled with the Holy Ghost. How about you? Oh, yeah, a lot of people, they frown when children are moving in the Spirit of God and say, well, they don't know what they're doing. They don't have to know what they're doing. The Holy Ghost does. Woo! John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she began to worship God and magnify God. And so here we find a depiction of a godly woman filled with the Holy Ghost. What does she do? She lifts her voice and magnifies God. Hallelujah. As the Spirit of God, hallelujah, moves in her soul, she begins to lift her voice and magnify God. This is just how it happens, church. Just like it happened for Elizabeth. Hallelujah. And this was something that encouraged Elizabeth in her promises. Hallelujah. Of John the Baptist and who he was going to be. And he was going to be the forerunner. And the hand of the Lord was going to be upon him. And there was promises given to Elizabeth also. Hallelujah. And this is where we need the infilling of the Holy Ghost to help us worship our God the way he wants to be worshiped. Yeah. You realize God doesn't just accept any worship. He accepts the worship he's ordained. Yeah. Hallelujah. Even in the New Testament, John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, where the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. That's not an option, is it? I don't find that definition of that word anywhere with an option in it. No, no. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. And of course, then Acts 2 and 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. God wants us filled with the Spirit so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. There's other scriptures. I don't have them in my notes here. But the Jesus declared him as the Spirit of truth. So in other words, Jesus kind of combined it when he said the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he'll lead you into all truth. And all truth is what we need to be worshipers of Almighty God, the way he wants to be worshipped. And so we see we have insight into what we've already read, that the way he wants to be worshipped is being us being filled with the Holy Ghost and then us magnifying God through the Spirit of God, lifting our voices to God. It's wonderful, and this is why songs are so wonderful. Because songs are so wonderful because we can take and use them for our song. Amen. I don't know what your song is, but I love Amazing Grace. That's my song. Why? Because it expresses what God has done for me, and thereby an avenue when I can sing Amazing Grace, I sing it unto the Lord because it's me. Hallelujah. It's what has changed my life and brought me into salvation, that amazing grace of God. Hallelujah. Those choruses that we sung this morning, what is that? That's an avenue whereby I can express what I feel in my heart through those words and believe them with all my heart, and it's fruit of my lips of thanksgiving to God and praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's what the Holy Ghost will lead us to do. Hallelujah. You know, I made a statement and was preaching there Thursday morning, giving the understanding and the reality of when you'll know when you're full of the Holy Ghost. It's not how much you pray. It's not how often you speak in tongues. It's not how much you sing. Although those things are going to be there in a spirit-filled life, that hallelujah life, that Pentecostal life. But it's when the day takes you to a place where everybody seems to be against you and it feels like you're being pressed against a wall with all the forces of darkness coming at you, pushing on you, that pressure on you, and all that comes out of you is the love of God. You'll know that you're full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, praying in the Spirit of God, that's God using us for prayer. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues, that is magnifying the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Reading God's Word, that is feasting upon God's Word and God's truth and God's ways. But being full of the Holy Ghost is going to affect me in the circumstances and the situations of my life that press me, that stress me, oh, that work on my frustration, that work on my anger. That's where the Spirit of God is going to work. And being full of the Holy Ghost, then I can reduce, decrease. That's what we preached on Thursday morning, maintaining reduction, decreasing so he can increase. If I don't decrease, then I'll increase. And if I increase, I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to say it wrong. I'm going to act wrong. My attitude is going to be wrong. Everything about the situation will turn wrong unless I can reduce and decrease and Christ can rule and reign at that moment. Yeah. Because we can prepare for that moment, but until that moment comes, we'll not know. It's the test. Wow. It's the test of the press to see what's going to come out of us, to let us know whether or not we're really full of the Holy Ghost or we're just encountering the blessings of God and the moving of God, but we're not taking full advantage of the power of God in our lives. So here we find then that Elizabeth was a worshiper of God. She was filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and that's what led her into her worship. Amen. Inspiration for mothers, inspiration for fathers, inspiration for young men, inspiration for young ladies, inspiration for all. Hallelujah. This is how it is to be done. Hallelujah. This is the example. This is the pattern. This is our inspiration of those women of old. Hallelujah. And how they were used by God and how they manifested God in their lives. Luke 1 and 38. Very familiar story here. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Wow. You ever thought about that, moms? Could you have done that? Could you have been in the place if an angel visited you, told you things that you'd never heard before, told you things that were not physically possible? I mean, Sarah was there. It wasn't physically possible for Sarah. In the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, she was beyond that stage of life. You know, but then when the Bible tells us with God, all things are possible. If you don't believe it, go read about Sarah and Abraham. If you don't believe it, go read about Mary and the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. And what was birthed in her was that holy child, that Savior of the world. Glory. But what I want to see here is I want to see that she portrayed a willingness, a surrender, even when she didn't know how it would happen, what it would bring. I'm sure in the back of her mind she realized becoming with child and not yet being married was not going to be a good thing. But yet when the visitation of the angel Gabriel and the glory of God and the power of God and the Holy Ghost, see, the Holy Ghost was involved here. Hallelujah. When that Holy Ghost overshadowed her, she said, "Be it unto me as you've said. I will. Yes, Lord, yes. I will be the one." Glory. That willingness to surrender to God, even though she did not fully understand what was going to transpire. Wow. That is a characteristic above characteristics. Willingness to surrender to God when He comes and He speaks and He gives directive, and even though you don't know the end result, you still say, "Yes, Lord, I'll trust you. Yes, Lord, be it unto me as you have said." Praise be to our God. And so we see that that yieldedness is a very important factor in a child of God in maintaining that walk with God. Romans 6:19, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. In other words, key words in these scriptures is yielded. When you realize temptation is going to come. But the Bible says flee. Flee youthful lust. Flee temptation. James tells us, "Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee." Hallelujah. I heard somebody talking the other night, and they said, "Hey, did you know there is one thing in the Bible you're supposed to run from?" We always talk about standing up, not running. There's nothing on our back to protect our back. All of our armor is for an assault. Hallelujah. But he said, there's one thing the Bible tells us we must run from. Flee youthful lust. Run from it. Run from anything that promotes it. Run from it. Get away from it. That's what it's saying. Get away from it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see then yieldedness. While we were sinners, we yielded our vessels unto sin and unto iniquity and unto selfishness and self-indulgences, and just everything was about us. Everything was about self. But now that we're saved, it's not about us anymore in the sense, it's all about Jesus Christ and it's all about others. Hallelujah. The part that's about us is to become that yielded vessel that he can fill and that he can begin to use in righteousness, and that righteousness then produces holiness. Because righteousness is laying hold of the right ways of God, and holiness is performing them and living them. Praise our God. And so we see, but that all only comes with yieldedness, willingness. Amen. You see, even the spirit-filled believer is still a creature of choice. And just because you've been filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you'll always make right choices, because the Bible also says we can quench the Spirit and we can grieve the Spirit, which means that when the Spirit is directing, we say, no, thank you, I don't want to go that way. And you have just grieved the Spirit of God, because he's there to be your help. He's there to be your strength. He's there to be your wisdom. He's there to be your power. He's there to be everything you need for victorious Christian living. And when you say, not right now, buddy, I got things I want to do. Oh. And then we wonder why we're so weak, and then wonder why we fall to temptation so easy. Well, it's because we're not listening to the one that'll give us the power to overcome it. We've got to become that yielded vessel. We've got to become that one that will be filled with the Spirit of God. So when those moments of temptation come, the Spirit of God can lift up the standard. The Spirit of God can lift up the victory. The Spirit of God can direct my path. And so we're seeing here then that yieldedness is a vital, important part of Christian living. And that's exactly what it takes to be filled with the Spirit of God. I must be able to yield to God even when I don't understand it all. There's the glorious thing about the Spirit of the Lord. When he moves on our soul, when he moves on our body, when he moves on our mind, we automatically know it's God. It's always the enemy that tries to convince us it's not. Because if we've been washed in the blood and Jesus Christ is our Savior, our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. And then when the Spirit of God moves on us, that spirit, our spirit, knows it's God. But that's when the enemy comes and tries to sow fear, doubt, and unbelief. I know. I've been there, church. I've been there. Oh, the struggle, the battle, the wrestling to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God that really doesn't have to be there. You know, now that I'm on the other side and I've been filled with the Spirit of God, I've been filled with the Spirit of God for many years, I look back and I realize I could have been filled way before I was. I just couldn't bring myself to be that yielded vessel. I wanted to have that measure of control. And when I was finally ready to give control to God, I was filled. That's just how simple it is. That's what faith is all about. Amen. That's what being filled with the Spirit is all about. It's that yieldedness to God. Just you want God and you want everything God wants for you. And even if you don't understand it, that's how I got saved. I mean, that's just part of my testimony. I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know I needed anymore. Until I went to that altar and said, Lord, whatever it is I need, show it to me. Finally got to the place I wanted to see myself. It's a scary thing. It's a sad thing when you see yourself, because then you realize just how wretched you have been. Even though your world logo was good old boy, But when you come face to face with God and you want to see like God sees, you don't see good old boy. You see wretched sinner. And when I saw all my life pass before my eyes, I realized for the first time in my entire life at 23 years old, the wretched sinner that I was. And immediately I cried for mercy. And immediately mercy came. Hallelujah. What was yieldedness? I'd finally come to a place of yieldedness to God. I'd finally come to the place where I said, be it unto me, Lord, as you say. Wow, that's a hard place sometimes for us to get. But we will have to get there more than once. That's what it takes to get there the first time. That's what it takes to pray through the second time. That's what it takes to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's what it takes to have victory over temptation that comes my way. That's what it takes each day of my life as I march into this world and the princes and the power of the air that come against my mind and come against yours. It's going to take that yieldedness to God. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done in this situation. Lord, not what I'm feeling and not what I'm thinking, Lord, but righteousness rule. Holiness rule. Spirit of God, bring out that love. Bring out that joy. Bring out that peace. Don't bring out that old man. Bring out Christ in this situation. Ooh, I've been in a lot of situations, church, where I had to pray that prayer. Because what was wanting to come out was me and my frustration of the situation. And I wanted to give them a piece of my mind. Anybody ever been there besides me? But I had to pray that prayer. God, not that. But what I need to be and what I need to produce and what I need to do in this situation to bring glory to you and bring help to them, regardless of the effects on me. Praise God. That yieldedness. Acts 9 and 5. This is the story of Saul of Tarsus. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Gives us a little insight on the dealing of the Spirit of God, the conflict of the Spirit of God. How many likes to be poked with a pin? Anybody like to be poked with a pin? I'm talking like a push pin. I'm talking like a sewing pin. I mean, how many would just love for someone to come along and just start poking you with that pin? That wouldn't be fun, would it? You wouldn't like it at all. Well, that's what this is talking about. It was talking about the ox goad. It was talking about the stick that the owner would direct that oxen with while he's plowing in the field, while he's pulling that cart down the road. He'd have that stick, and it was kind of sharp on the end, and he'd give him a little poke. If he's getting a little too far to the left, he'd poke him to get him back to the right. I mean, it just, you know, and it was, we used an electric prod on the farm. We didn't just use sticks. We had sticks. I broke a few of them. Cattle sometimes don't know what's good for them. You know, you're trying to get them into a apparatus so that you can doctor them to keep them from getting disease and keep them from, you know, contracting all kinds of parasites, you know. And so you're trying to help them be healthy. They never want the help. You know how many times I've had to chase a cow around the pen just to get it to go in a gate? And then you get it in the gate, and you're taking them down what you call an alleyway, and they don't want to go. If they're small enough, you just fall in behind them, and you push them on in. Yeah. I always loved doing that. I don't know why. You know, when it came down to it, and all my brothers were there working cow, I said, I'll go. I'll do that part. I just love doing it. I just got a thrill out of pushing a 400-pound calf down an alleyway. I liked it. It was messy. Let me tell you, it was messy. Anyway, but kick against the pricks. See, when the Spirit of God is dealing with us, it's not a joyful thing. It's a conflict. It's a pricking. A constant annoying. Why? Well, because there's not a yieldedness, and I'm not going the right way, so he's trying to poke me to get me to go right, to get me to go left, to get me right where I need to be. And the Saul of Tarsus responded wonderfully. The misery in his life had brought him to this place. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Do you realize that he was given a directive without the full understanding of what was going to transpire? He was given a directive, and you got to realize, at this point, he's blind. Because the light had blinded his eyes. God had blinded his eyes. And he was given a directive to arise, because he fell down. Arise and go into the city. But he's blind. And we think it's strange when God gives us directives but does not give us the full details. Hallelujah. But what did he do? He was yielded to God, and he did what he was asked to do, not knowing if he would ever see again. Wow. You see, this is what I'm after: yieldedness, surrender, submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ will always bring the power and the blessing of an Almighty God into my life, into your life. It's the only way the Christian life operates. It doesn't operate any different way. We can't choose our own Christianity. Granted, there's multitudes of flavors out there. Don't be deceived. This is the way of God. This is the way of the Bible. This is the only way anybody's ever going to be saved or filled with the Spirit of God or led by the Spirit of God, is becoming that yielded vessel to the right things. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful that Mary was a yielded vessel. How about you? Hallelujah. Praise God. I realize God would have raised up someone else. Just that's what Mordecai said to Esther. If you don't rise up for such a time as this, then God will bring us deliverance through somebody else. But it's your time if you'll rise up and you'll say yes. Woo. It's your time if you'll rise up and you'll say yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got to move on here this morning. I've been preaching way too long. 2 Timothy 1 and 5, here we find, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois, then thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also faith. Did you realize faith can be handed down? Faith can be passed down. Once again, this is linked to train up a child in the way they should go. But here we find that this grandmother and this mother was full of faith, unfeigned faith. In other words, they didn't waver in their faith. They were persuaded in their faith. They weren't wishy-washy in their faith. They weren't hit here and not here and be here and don't be here. And No. They were unfeigned in their faith. They were pressing towards that high calling of God. Because that's what faith is all about. And I'm going to close with this. Actually, I'm going to close with another scripture. But here we find, and it's all through the scripture, especially in the New Testament. Behold, this is Habakkuk 2 and 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Amen. That was spoken in the Old Testament. And then it was reiterated in Romans 1 and 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then Paul writes it again in Galatians 3 and 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then he reiterates it again in Hebrews 10 and 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. The just, the saved, the righteous, those, oh my, that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, they're going to live by faith, trust, confidence. In an almighty God of heaven. Hallelujah. That is the way of Christ. That is the way of a Christian. To live by faith, from faith to faith. An everyday relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His Word and through the Spirit of God. Keeping my faith alive. Keeping it active. Everything about Jesus Christ is life. It's not death. It's spiritual. It's not carnal. Hallelujah. And I have to live by faith, an active relationship with Jesus Christ. So thus you will find me at an altar of prayer. Thus you will find me in the Word of God. Thus you will find me meditating upon His Word. Thus you will find me waiting in the presence of God. Thus you will find me worshiping in the presence of God. Thus you will find me obedient to the Spirit of God. Thus you will find me victorious in my daily battles. Because we're living in an hour, church. It's daily battles. It's not just a battle here and a battle there. It's a daily battle. It's a daily grind. And you're going to need the joy of the Holy Ghost to keep the grinder going. Woo, hallelujah. You're going to need that power, that fuel from above, to keep everything running the way it's supposed to be running and operating the way it's supposed to be operating. And you know, you'd be in a terrible shape if you had 400 miles to go and you had a quarter of a tank of gas. I'm pretty confident Brother Larry Joshua keeps his tank on full. Maybe he don't. He might now. Why? Because he travels a lot. He travels a lot. He probably doesn't even wait till it gets down there towards empty. When he sees it's getting down there about a half of a tank, he takes opportunity and fills it up. He don't want to run out of fuel. He wants to get back home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. You see, I don't want to run out of the power of God. I want to make it home. Hallelujah. But if I don't have enough fuel, I won't get there. I'll run out. I'll burn out. I'll fall out. I'll give out. So that's why I need fuel from above, power from above, fire from above. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. That's why I need that faith, full and alive in my life. Sister Pepper, you can come back to the piano. This last scripture is not on the slideshow there, but it's Proverbs 31 and 30 at the close of that virtuous woman. I encourage you mothers, go read that. It says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Praise be to our God. You see, that should be the goal of every mother, of every woman, is to fear the Lord and keep His commandments. And then you will be praised in this life. And you will be praised in the life to come. Because you will have pursued the high calling of God and the responsibilities that God has brought to you. Back to dealing with mothers. Fathers, you know this applies to you too. But we'll deal with that in June. Hallelujah. But the reality is, these things that I've shared with us here this morning, they're not options that we can choose which one we want. They are just Christ. They are Christianity. They are God's Word. They are God's ways. And this is where we find our inspiration. I was reading a devotion this morning of A.W. Tozer, and he was talking about the reality of the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of God's word, to the fact that it is to exhort, it is to rebuke, it is to correct, it is to inspire me to a closer, higher walk with God. That's what the preaching of the word is all about. It's not to tickle the ears of men and women. It is to challenge the hearts of men and women. Hallelujah. To that higher calling, to that holy calling, to that righteous calling, to that purpose of life that Jesus Christ has for every believer. Oh, hallelujah. Could we stand? Could we stand? God of heaven, Lord, we praise you. We adore you. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for your spirit. God, stirring my heart, stirring my soul, helping me to remember, Lord God, oh, the wonderful ways of my King, the wonderful ways of that kingdom of God, the holiness of our God, the righteousness thereof. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace that abounds towards us. I thank you for the Spirit of God that fills us with your joy, fills us with your peace, fills us with your righteousness. Hallelujah. Directs our paths, gives us insight and directive from your word. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you for the greatness of this salvation and the promises that you have given unto us, oh, Lord God, to help us learn how to walk with you. Learn how to be like you, Lord God, in this present world. Glory, glory. Could we lift our hands in thanksgiving to the Lord for the greatness of this salvation and the wonderful works that he has already done in our lives and the work that he's doing this very day. God of heaven, I praise you. I thank you, Lord God, for our mothers. I ask you, Lord God, to bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, challenge them. Lord, use them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No greater glory to our God. Lord, touch every heart, every soul, every mind here this morning, Lord God, and lift us up above the shadows, Lord. Lift us up above the storm, God. Help us to rise up and lift up our heads. And hallelujah, see you high and lifted up. Oh, and know and have that great reality. Lord, you haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us. You are with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, God. Glory, glory, glory. Blessed be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God of heaven, we rejoice. We rejoice in these examples. No greater love that have shown us the way from above.